Hello, everybody. I'm John. I'm a drug addict. It's good to see a lot of people here. Really enjoyed the first speaker, and like he was saying, sponsorship is the lifeblood of our fellowship. And I have a sponsor. His name's Reggie G. He's not able to be here right now. But the book tells me, and I quote the book a lot because, like the book says, when I got here, I was consistently incapable of making good decisions. You know, I was a self-made man when I got here, and it also says in the book that my very best thinking got me a seat in Narcotics Anonymous. So when I came here and was introduced to the steps, you know, I thought, like all of us, man, you know, like the pamphlet, the triangle self-obsession talks about, I was like, I got it. I can do it myself. I don't need no help, you know. Pretty simple steps. And I did well with that. It didn't take me 14 days to relapse, so... You know, next time I came around, they said, you might want to get a sponsor. And I guess most of us, when we get here, is, what is a sponsor? You know, there's not a lot written about sponsorship until the sponsorship book came out. And even then, it really just gives a lot of people's personal experience with sponsorship. And what was told to me that sponsor wasn't a marriage counselor, wasn't a bank to loan me money, he wasn't a credit advisor, wasn't a long-term planner. An employment consultant, that he was to help me go through the steps based on his experience. And the criteria was that I should get a sponsor who has something that I want. And, you know, I really looked around and decided where I was at in my life and what I wanted. And I picked a guy to start this relationship with. And that's really what sponsorship's about, man. It's about an intimate relationship. All the steps talk about learning to trust God. And most of us come here not being able to trust another human being. And I got this relationship with the sponsor, and I was real sick when I got here. You know, I come from the old school where we shot a lot of dope and oil joints. And I really didn't have any living skills, communication skills. The skills I had were the first rule was don't trust. You know, and they told me that this new relationship I had entered in, that trust was a requirement. And just don't do trust, man, when I first got clean. I knew what the results of. Everybody I'd ever trusted had hurt me. The men in my life when I was young, my father went to Vietnam, didn't come back. So I knew what I got when I trusted that. Left me with my mother who couldn't take care of me. I ended up in a home. That taught me about trusting my parents. I had other males in my life who molested me. That taught me about trust. The police I trusted put me in jail. You know, everybody I trusted hurt me. You know, I trust my friend to go get a little cop, come back light. You know, there was no trust. You know, I'd steal money with somebody for half, and I never got my half. Taught me about trust. And I had to go in this relationship based on trust. Not only trust, but my most intimate trust. And what happened was I got real fortunate. And I'm just going to briefly touch on this to tell you how I got my first sponsor was. I was 22 years old, and I'd been shooting dope since I was 11. I had hepatitis. I was sick. I'd been on the streets for about 9 years. And I finally got a piece of money that would get me off of the street. And I trusted my best friend, you know, just to make sure we didn't do any of my drug of choice, that maybe we could do a little something, but not my drug of choice. And that was on a Friday night. And Monday morning at 6 o'clock, I was out all my money. I was dope sick. I had bruises on both my arms. I was cold. I didn't have a pair of shoes. And I was working at a day labor place. And a miracle happened in my life. And I asked this guy there if he would buy me a soda. And he was like, just got a big piece of money, man. You can't even buy a soda. And I remember he grabbed my wrist and turned my arms over, and they were both black and blue. And he said, you got a problem with that shit, don't you? I said, well, not really that. All this other shit in my life's all fucked up. Dope's good. So He went to take me to get a soda, and when he reached in his pocket to get a handful of change, I saw a medallion. And I had been exposed to some other programs before in institutions. This was back when there wasn't a lot of NA, and there was like some other fellowships, like Young Adult Drug and Alcohol Fellowship. And, you know, I'd been in three psychiatric hospitals. They didn't really call them rehabs back then. They would send you to the psychiatric hospital, and you'd end up on the fourth floor of some building somewhere, and you'd get a little band, and you got to do stuff, and you'd wait for the little leather cart so you can make the little comb case and call the pitches. And I did all that and got used to that type of life. And this guy, I saw this chip, and I said, you know, does that stuff work? And he said, well, I tell you, I haven't used in 5 years. And for the first time ever, I looked into another person's eyes, and I knew they weren't lying. I knew they used like I used. They had the same thing I had, and they were clean. And they spoke with a sense of hope, and I saw it, and I knew it. I couldn't deny it. And I thought, maybe this time it'll be different. He said, would you be interested in attending one of our meetings? And the fact was, I didn't have anywhere to go. I'd used up everybody around me. And he offered me an opportunity to go to his house and have some dinner and take a shower. And he took me to one of these meetings. He let me sleep on his floor that night, and he did that every day for 8 days. And on the eighth day, he took me to a meeting at a rehab facility. And there was a beautiful, thin blonde smoking a cigarette right by the front door. She let me know that she was in there. And I don't know about you, but when I used, I wasn't caring about eating or sex. I was caring about getting and finding ways and means. That was it. But I hadn't used in 8 days. And I was interested. So, ended up in this camp 30 days. 30-day facility, and I was real sick. I ended up staying there 11 months, and I was sleeping with a married woman whose husband was a major member of a large motorcycle organization that had beat me half to death with a baseball bat and was looking to kill me. So I left my home in Richmond, Virginia, and ended up in Maryland hiding from him along with other people. And now I'm in this rehab for 11 months, and I finally was able to stay clean a day at a time, and it gave me an opportunity to find a new way of life. But what happened in that 11 months, getting back to sponsorship, is this guy that gave me this chip that took me to these meetings. I didn't know about asking for a sponsor. He said, I'm your sponsor. And he said, you read the first step every day. He said, I want you to write on a piece of paper all the things you have power over. He said, are you powerless over your addiction? I was like, I don't know about that. You know, I'd really like to learn how to shoot dope on the weekends and keep some money in the bank. You know, you think they could teach me that? And he was like, you're not powerless yet. You should read on. And I read on. And this guy saved my life. There ain't no nice way to say it. He introduced me to steps. He made me do stuff. He took me to this meeting. And after the meeting, he said, here's the coffee pot. Here's the key. You get here a half hour early, you stay a half hour late, and you make coffee. I said, rehab won't allow that. He said, already cleared it with them. You're good. Making coffee. So I made coffee. And I emptied ashtrays. And I filled ashtrays. And I drank coffee. And I got in his pocket. And when I didn't know, I asked him, and he'd give me stupid answers like, get a dictionary and look it up. I remember I was reading in the book, and it says, it comes not from dogma. And I said, what the hell is dogma? He'd say, look it up and write about it and tell me what it means to you. And he taught me the value of the pen and pencil. And I don't want to get real caught up on him, but he's a powerful guy in my life. He's still around today. He's got like, well, I got coming up on 19, so he's probably got 27 or something. I don't see him as often as I used to. But that's what a sponsor's about, man. It's about guiding us through these steps, man. These steps are powerful, man. People with years of time sometimes don't get what the steps mean. I still hear people say stuff like, the four steps hard. Four steps easy. The fifth steps are hard. I don't want to talk about the exact natures of my wrong. I can write down everything about me, good, bad, indifferent. I can write all that down and not share it with nobody. That's easy. But when I have to go to another human being and talk about, listen, man, I'm a pleasure seeker and I acted out with another man, or, you know, I'm a pleasure seeker and I'm greedy and I stole money that didn't belong to me, or I put my hands on another human being, or I'm feeling so inadequate about who I am because I suffer from this disease based on scarcity and lack that tells me I'm not enough, that I acted this way. And that's what sponsorship's about, man. That's why I need a sponsor in my life to tell me, you know, when I call them up and say, one more time, I'm not enough, I don't count, I don't matter, because that's my disease, man. That's my disease's mantra. It tells me that every day. I don't count, I don't matter. So my response to that is I act out in some stupid behavior. You know, they're called character defects. So I act out, you know, because my disease is telling me I'm not enough. The disease tells me I'm not enough, therefore there is enough. There's never enough of nothing. There's not enough women, not enough money, not enough jobs, not enough drugs. Nothing is ever going to fill this hole inside of me. Nothing. But God, as I understand him. And that's the key to the steps. The steps do lead us to a spirit that we believe in. And they're written in order for a reason. And I've been through them three times. What I've learned is that every time I go through a step, it means something different to me. Okay, what I do now is on my anniversary, I try to pick a step and key on that where I think I'm lacking. And last year it was the fifth step, and this year it's the sixth step. And what the sixth step's a prime example of why I need a sponsor. Man, sixth step tells me I need to get ready to remove my defects. Is that what it says to y'all? No, it says become willing to have God remove your defects. That changes my whole perception of the six steps. It says become entirely ready to have God. Again, what it's telling me is learn to trust. Most of the steps tell me that. Having a God without trust is like having a boat, no oar. It's useless, man. You're floating around lost. Thinking you're going somewhere. You got one oar. You know what you're doing? You're going in a big circle. You know? So what I found out is that I have some character defects that I've been trying to remove for the last 18 some odd years, and I ain't getting nowhere. So maybe I should give God an opportunity, you know? The first step tells me that. The first step tells me that I'm powerless and that my life is unmanageable, that I'm the manager, that I'm incapable of consistently making good decisions, that my best management skills got me a seat in Narcotics Anonymous. No doubt about that. Second step tells me, well, if I'm managing my life and this is the best I could do, maybe I should consider a new manager. And the third step tells me, find a manager. And I do that. Not only find one, but learn to use it. Talks about in the book, we can utilize this power long before we understand it. And I respect everybody's right to a God of their understanding. I don't speak about my God in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous because it's a little different. And I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want anybody to lose their concept of who God is. But I know that by defining God, I limit God's ability. My best thinking got me here. The very best I could do. So then it came to the fourth step where I write an inventory. Inventory. Everybody freaks out about that. It's pretty simple. Write what you're made of. Good and bad. You know, I don't know where that got complicated. I remember seeing a book from another fellowship that really got real complicated on the fourth step. Wanted you to write assets and liabilities and examples of all them and all that. And I don't know about all that. I'm just telling you what works for me, what my sponsor had me do. You know? The fifth step was the hard one for me. I have an ego, man. That's kept me alive on the streets, man. I have a disease that tells me that everybody's out to get me, that I'm full of fear, that I'm inadequate. So I'm walking around scared to death. So what do? I grow my hair long, I get some tattoos, throw an earring in, and put a pistol on my hip. Am I not scared anymore? No, I'm scared to death. But now y'all are scared of me, so y'all won't come near me. So maybe I'll bust somebody over the head with a chair. Y'all leave me alone because I'm scared. You back a rat in the corner. He don't bite you because he's big and bad. He bites you because he's scared to death. And that's the kind of guy I am. I say am because just because I haven't chose to put a substance in my body in X amount of years don't mean a hill of nothing. All it does is allow me an opportunity at recovery. We all recover at different times. And I had this conversation with a very dear friend of mine the other day about outgrowing sponsors. She's 21 years clean. That still blows my mind. How can somebody, you know, I knew a guy one time had 30 years, and I asked him, how do you get 30 years? And he said, don't use and don't die. And it's about that simple, you know? She got 21 years, and she's changing sponsors, and she wanted to have some input about that, man. And I was like, you know, the old literature talks about that's the whole purpose of sponsorship, that we should outgrow our sponsors, that we should take what we need from the sponsor we have, and we should outgrow that and look for somebody else who has, because nobody has everything we want and need except for God. So I thought, man, you know, this is my third sponsor, and I've had him for 8 years, and I'm no means ready to leave him, but he has what I want. He's married. He's been married 27 years, man. I want a relationship like that, man. You know, he's got long-term recovery, works the steps, raised his children good, is a good employee, saved money, bought his own home, fixes up his home, got several vehicles, got a piece about him. These are things I want. He's my sponsor for that reason. How did you get that? Show me. You know, if it's in a book, show me. You know? So I work with him on the steps, you know? And I got away from the steps, but I love talking about the steps because they would save my life and continue to keep me sane. And I wasn't sane when I got here. I made the little crack about the fourth floor, but I was certifiably on paper physically insane. When I say that, it meant I was in a rubber room with a straitjacket, pissing in the corner, spitting on the window, and when they let me out of the straitjacket long enough, I busted the window out, took a chunk of wired glass, and cut myself to pieces so they could put me back in the straitjacket and take me to the emergency room under armed guard and sew me up with no medication. I was certifiably crazy. I'd lost my mind through my addiction. Addiction will do that. Addiction will take from you. See, they changed the book a lot since I've been here, and most of it I agree with, but one of the things that really kind of rubs me wrong, and I'm a control freak, you know. So it used to say the ends are always, it doesn't say the ends are sometimes the same. It says it's always the same. What you can expect, it's a guarantee. You're going to get jails, institution, or death. But it used to say jails, institution, dereliction, and death. And that's what I lived. When I wasn't in an institution, when I wasn't in prison, I lived a life of dereliction. And look it up in the dictionary if you don't know what it means. It wasn't pretty. I gave plasma for $12 so I could get half a shot of dope. I didn't eat for weeks at a time. I was 128 pounds when I got here. I was 22 years old. I had a pair of shoes. One of them didn't have a heel on it. I was homeless, helpless, and hopeless. I was certifiably psychiatric insane, and this program saved my life. Anyway, I got to the fifth step. Let me jump to the sixth step. It says entirely ready to have God remove all defects. It tells me I'm incapable. It tells me once again that left to my own devices, I cannot do it, that only God can do it. So I become entirely ready, which means I develop an intimate relationship, and that's what sponsorship's about, with God as I understand Him. If you got a God and you don't have an intimate relationship with God, you need to work on it. There's a great piece in the second step where it talks about we see these coincidences as miracles and we can't explain them. These coincidences turn into trust.
Watch your back. I need y'all to get away from the door also, please.
Could y'all please step away from the door? The fire marshal's here and we don't want any problems. And don't lean on the light switches. It gets dark. And I'm a guy that's still full of fear, man, and I'm scared of the dark. There it is. I'm putting it out there. You don't think I ain't scared of the dark? I tell you what, my neighbor hung himself 6 months ago. I live in a duplex. He lived next to me. And he had this disease, man, and he didn't know there was hope. And he chose to go in his bathroom and hang himself over the shower. Okay? That's real, man. This game ain't, I don't know, man. Maybe it's different than when I was out there, but I see a lot of people still dying, man. I don't know what part of jails, institution, and death everybody's confused about. People fucking die in here. This disease kills. And because you stop shooting dope, smoking crack, smoking weed, whatever you're doing, the disease don't go away. This is a disease that says Using the compulsive use of drugs is but a symptom of our disease. You stop using dope, you still got a disease that wants you dead. And it will kill you. It will kill you as quick as any guy out there on the corner with a pistol. I don't want to go like that, man. Anyway, back to the steps. The seventh step tells me, the first step, first word after we of the seventh step is humbly. You know why? Because when you get to that step, your ass is humbled. Them character defects have kicked your ass. And you humbly ask God. And it says in the book, humility is a much a part of staying clean as food and water is to staying alive. And if you don't know what humility is, look it up. It's an important word in this fellowship. The eighth step gives me some freedom, man. Now that I have some breathing room is what I like to call it, where I've had God now has control of my life, and I'm not killing myself on a daily basis, hopefully, through acting out physically, sexually, spiritually, so I can act out on all that stuff. I make a list of all the persons I've harmed. And no, I don't put myself on top of the list. I don't know where that got started. Maybe you do, and that's cool. But if I'm egotistical enough to think I hurt myself than other people, maybe I need to look at that. Because I hurt some people out there, man. I hurt me, but I hurt some people. People put faith in me, man. I stole from them. People that took me off the streets and gave me cheese sandwiches and apples, and I'd go back and steal from them. People that gave me opportunities at work, and I would steal from them. The disease would steal from them. The ninth step, I make my amends, hopefully. That's an ongoing process. Somewhere along the line, I hear that you work a step. I don't know what that means. These steps are ongoing. Every day I have to surrender. Every day I have to be powerless. Every day I have to recognize that God's the power in my life. You know? Then you do the 10th step, which is really about just looking at who you are. And the 11th step, the step that most changed my life in recovery, gave me an opportunity to utilize the God that I had looked at in my second and third step. The 11th step tells you, forget everything you know about God as you understand Him and relearn it. And I did that. And I come from a religion where that ain't okay to deny your God. You go to hell for that shit, my religion. But I did it. And I learned about a precious God that loves me. And more importantly than learning about, I learned to trust God, man. That's the hot lick. You can have a God all you want. If you ain't trusting in that power is useless. You come up in here talking about, yeah, I'm good with God. Me and God, we're tight. And don't use that power and walk around with all that fear and see how long it takes you to go on out there to Crack Alley and Dr. Feelgood and all them other people you miss. The 11th step talks about me taking this power to the next level. I had a sponsor that helped me through all that. I don't know if it signs for me if he left it up here. Man, brother, you're confusing me now, man. Utilizing this power long before I understand it. Guess what? I still don't understand it, but I utilize it. I get an opportunity to speak quite a bit, and it's always scary for me. But you know what I've learned to do is quit worrying about it. You know what I mean? My girlfriend gave me a little sign that's in my bathroom on the wall because I'm in there every day. In the mornings, usually. It says, faith isn't knowing God can. No, faith isn't believing God can. It's knowing He will. My sponsor used to tell me it's like having a tightrope across the Grand Canyon. And trust is pushing a wheelbarrow across that tightrope. Faith is getting in the goddamn wheelbarrow. That's hard for me. When I'm running something, everything's good. When my will and God's will are the same, there's nothing sweeter. But I don't understand God's will for me. I know what God's will for me is today, whether I understand it or not. That's to trust God. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, you need to start praying. Pretty simple. God does for us what we are incapable of doing for ourselves. And I use God in a generic term, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not a Christian. I don't say that to offend anybody. I'm just letting you know that everybody has an opportunity to recover in here. It says, find a spirit you believe in, God as you understand Him, and can utilize Him and trust Him. And through that process and working with a sponsor, that's why you need a sponsor. I'm not here to tell you how to work the steps. I don't know. I know what my sponsor taught me. I know my sponsor's still clean, so he did something right. I know he's reasonably comfortable in his own skin, and that's what I want. And if you got a sponsor that's out here sleeping with every newcomer, gambling his money away, not taking care of his family, hiding out in meetings, you might want to ask yourself, is this the sponsor for me? I'm going to touch briefly on male-female sponsorship and my opinion on it. And this is just my opinion. I am consistently incapable of having an intimate relationship with a woman of an opposite, a person of the opposite sex. Incapable. You want to get intimate with me and you're the opposite sex, you either getting laid or we ain't going to be friends no more. That's what's going to happen. And I'm talking about an intimate relationship. See, somewhere in the book, somebody got confused. It doesn't say, it does say don't get in a relationship, but that's not what they meant. They meant don't get in a romantic relationship for the first year till you find out who you are. Get in every relationship you can. Get in a relationship with men, women, sponsors, priests, political figures. Learn everything you can about life that you didn't get an opportunity if you used like I used. I live like Dracula, you know, when the lights came out, I was underground. I used all night. When the sun came up, I had to get back in, or else. I didn't know anything about life, writing checks, credit cards, political, voting, all the stuff I've learned. I'm 41 years old today. I've learned a whole new way of life, and the challenge I have in front of me today is learning to equip two beautiful children, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mental, to live in this world. Something that I'm trying to learn still. My daughter's 14 going on 21. I seen she had a thong on the other day. It ain't okay. You know. Some little boy around her, I told him whatever he was thinking about doing to her, I was going to do to him. It's tough, man. It's tough. I got a sponsor, though, and you know what? I got a sponsor that's got a wife, and I talk to her a lot, and I say, hey, my daughter's got a thong on. It ain't okay, and I need her to tell me it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't mean what it means to me because I'm sick. You know what I mean? I think every woman's a porn star. I'm sick. That's what I grew up with. You know, I'm a self-made man made with some bad blueprints. And if I don't have somebody to teach me a new way to live, I'm incapable, man. I can't pilot a jet unless a pilot shows me how. Why I think I can work these steps without a sponsor? It says the person who sponsors herself is sponsoring an idiot. These steps are what make the program. The fellowship's nice. Meetings are cool. I like it. I like hanging out, dances, you know. Don't work these steps and die. It's that simple, man. This ain't rocket science here. This is a program of 12 spiritual principles that change your life, your perception. If you don't get a chance, read the pamphlet, The Triangle Self-Obsession, if you want to know who you are. Do a fourth and fifth step with a sponsor if you want to know who you are. Write down all the things you got power over if you think you're running something. Bury some kids or your parents if you think you're running something. Turned our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. That's surrender. We talk about surrender. Go on and bury someone, talk about surrender. Go on and have somebody rape one of your kids and talk about surrender. I'm not there yet. I'm not going to lie to you. Anybody touch my daughter? I'm going to a funeral, then I'm going to the pen. It's that simple. Anyway, I don't want to end on a negative note. My time is up. I want to encourage everybody to take a look at your sponsor-sponsee relationship. This two-way street my man Bernard talked about. I really wish I'd have got more on that. That's what keeps me alive, my sponsees. And I have sponsees and grand sponsees and great-grand sponsees, and I have a sponsor that has a sponsor, and I live in a little community, and it's real incestual like that, and I love it. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.